This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I almost said happy Monday, but I meant Tuesday. Tim, did you have a great weekend?
I had a great weekend. It was very relaxing, and it was nice and warm around here.
Yeah, well, as you know, I was in Nashville. It's becoming an annual thing now. My son lives in Nashville, so last year I went out there, and he and I did a bike ride, and so I brought my hubby with this time, and we did a 50-mile ride in the 98-degree heat, and I was absolutely in my glory. I loved it so much.
Well, let me get this straight now. Kevin did the bike ride, too?
Okay, you're kind of outing him a little bit, but
oh, okay.
Bless his little heart. He's a busy guy. And so he made it 24 miles, and then
Good. He
went back to the hotel and sat in the pool.
There we go.
And then we went on and finished and did 26 more, kept my son Jake and I. But literally, you know, it was close to 100, high humidity, and we were talking each other up the hills. I mean, we're like, well, there would be one hill where I'm like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, you can do it. And then the next hill, I got the steam and he does. And I'm like, you can do it. And to finish it, it just was so fun. And we had a blast with our son. Love the weekend.
That's great. You know, I know Kevin, and I know that he doesn't necessarily like to ride bikes that length, and especially in that heat and everything. So I was wondering if he actually made it the entire time.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
He
did great for hardly ever riding, and I told you before the show, at night, he didn't move, and I didn't hear him breathing. I thought he was dead. I reached over to feel his pulse, and he woke up. I'm like, just making sure you're still with us, honey. Oh, but it was just a treasure being with our son, and love him so much. We went to church together, you know, had some meals together. It was just a delight.
So, oh, great weekend.
Yeah, it was great. Hope you had a great weekend as well. We've got a great show planned for you, talking to Rebecca St. James. She's written a great new book, What Is He Thinking? What Guys Want Us to Know About Dating, Love, and Marriage. And I asked on Facebook, as you know, I ask a question every day on Facebook related to the show topic. And I said, what do you think that men think is the most valuable and attractive quality in a woman? And I'll be reading those throughout the show. If you want to chime in, that's at facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. So let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get her on the show. Rebecca St. James is a Grammy Award-winning musician with record sales in the millions. She's also an in-demand speaker, best-selling author, and actress. As an artist spokesperson for Compassion International, Rebecca has used her concert venues to help find sponsors for more than, listen to this, 30,000 of the world's neediest children. She continues to write and sing, but her newest role as wife, as she recently celebrated her one-year wedding anniversary with her new husband, Jacob. You can find out more about her on the web at rsjames.com. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. Really honored to have you with us today.
Hi, Susie. Thank you so much.
Excited to talk with you about this new book. And as I'm sure Grace lets you know, we like to start out all of our shows talking scripture, and you chose one of my life verses, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, we must be kindred spirits, because it's one of my life verses as well. And I think, you know, I feel weak a lot just in, you know, what God has called me to do. I feel kind of over my head a lot. You know, I started out at 16, and, you know, I remember one of my first shows, just being backstage and literally getting on my face on the ground backstage, just going, God, if you don't give me strength to go out there, I'm not going to be able to do this. And so from, you know, shows to book writing to some acting that I've done, you know, songwriting, I mean, all of it, I just have felt, you know, just like I can't do this on my own. But with God's power in us, he can do much more, much, much more than anything we can ask or even imagine. And that encourages me that in my weakness, he can be strong and he can shine through, and it's not about me. I mean, that verse just reminds me of all of those things, and more than anything, to turn to God in prayer. And I love that we were able to pray before the show, and that just it puts the focus where it needs to be.
Amen. Well, what I love about what you're doing is you're living up to your spiritual means. I think so often we live beneath our spiritual means, and we only accomplish that which we can do on our own. And I think whether it's a public influence or private influence, I really believe that every one of us are called to live to this place where if he doesn't come through, we're sunk. Don't you?
That's a really, really good point. I agree. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about this. You're newly married to Jacob. My oldest son is named Jacob, but I love that name.
Awesome.
You've had a public wait where you've been waiting on God for his best for you. So talk to me about, give us some backstory, what that wait was like, and then how you met Jacob.
Oh, well, it's my favorite thing to talk about. So I'm so excited to share a little bit of our story with you. But I started singing, as I said, at 16 and started speaking about sexual purity at that same age. And I'd made a commitment to wait. And so there was a movement happening in the church at that time called the True Love Waits Movement. And so a lot of events I was doing were purity events. And so the leaders would just say, hey, can you say a couple words about the importance of purity? And I was absolutely cool with that because it was such a big commitment. I had a promise ring that I wore. And so we saw such massive response to that message, you know, in my shows that I continued to speak about it pretty much in every show, whether it was a purity event or not, and wrote a couple books about purity, wrote a love song to my future husband, even though I didn't know who he was, just saying, wherever you are out there, I'm waiting for you and I'm praying for you, wait for me too. So that was a song called Wait For Me. So it became a huge focus in my ministry. And then really for many, many years, I was dating different people, but I was single. I wasn't married, you know, and it was a hard, lonely time at points of just struggling, of just trying to trust God when the biggest dream of my life wasn't being fulfilled. And so it was very, very challenging at points. But about 2 years ago, I met a holy hunk of a man named Jacob. And we met actually through mutual friends in L.A. at a philosophy group, or kind of through a philosophy group in L.A. And sparks flew, and we started dating and became just closer and closer friends. And that Christmas, he proposed to me in the snow in Tennessee, and we were married Easter weekend a bit over a year ago. So it's just the best season of my life, absolutely.
So tell me, from when you met him to when he proposed, how much time transpired?
Only 9 months, but, you know, I don't necessarily suggest that for absolutely everyone, but, you know.
Well, just in the interest of full disclosure, it was 4 months for me, but we've been married 27 years.
Wow.
So.
Well, you know, late 20s, early 30s, which is
you
what
kind of know what
are.
You want. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and, and we just had absolute confirmation from God, like, and so it was just, you know, a beautiful time frame, and you know, we're glad, too. We had a short engagement as well. So it was a bit over a year that we'd known each other, but it felt like a lot longer than that because of all that had transpired and all that God had done.
So happy for you, Rebecca. Well, tell me, what do you love about him?
Well, one of the things that probably the two things that come to mind immediately, and I'm like smiling big time, is his sense of humor. He's kind of got this like goofy, kind of just fun, just boyish manner. And a lot of it comes out, especially around me. Sometimes he doesn't show that to absolutely everyone, but I just feel like every day I'm blessed by just the funny things that he does that just make me laugh. And that was something that I really valued, you know, even before I met him, was just a great sense of humor. And his laid-back, gentle spirit, like, he's got this amazing combination of strength. He's a really strong man. He was a missionary in South Africa for a couple years. So he loves Jesus with all his heart, and he's just got this strength to his character. You know, he waited for me. He was pure. Like, he's just got such strength, but he's also got this gentleness and this easygoing, laid-back spirit that just bounces me out so well. And he's an incredible listener. I mean, just integrity is his middle name. Like, even before I met him, people were just saying he's the best guy we know. Like, some of his best friends were just telling me that. And so just, I don't know. He just
I'm so happy.
I always want to learn more about him. He's just the most fascinating person to me.
That is so wonderful. I'm listening to you talk, and thinking of my boys are all in their early 20s now, but my middle son, you know, he waited and he just, you know, married young, but he literally dated his girl. They met each other at 15, started dating at 17 because she wasn't allowed to date till 17. They went four years before they even had their first kiss because he was just so committed to this purity thing. But once he got engaged, he was useless. My other boy said, he's happy, dumb. You know, we can't even talk to him about anything. We just got to get him married so we can have a conversation with him again because everything went back
to
getting married. I'm getting married. Yes. I love it. Well, I'm thrilled for you. I'm wondering, has anything about marriage surprised you looking back over this year?
Probably two things that would sound kind of, unusual because I'm talking about the same marriage here. But one thing is that it's been a lot easier than we thought. I think the adjustment to marriage. I think I had a lot of people that, you know, said to me, marriage is amazing, it's great, you're going to love it, but it's super, super hard, and just get ready for the honeymoon to be over, and it's going to be super challenging. And so I think we knew it would be amazing, but we were also prepared for it to be really, really challenging, just adjusting to married life. And honestly, it's just been a really, really easy transition and just very joyful. And, you know, I think, and so then, so I'll say that, but then the other thing that I was even just thinking about just recently is how easily in marriage, little tiny things can divide you mm-hmm. and how important it is to talk through those things before they start stacking up. And so we have an absolute commitment to, even when it's just, you know, little things that we're just kind of feeling this little bit of division or it's a misunderstanding, just kind of talking that through and being really quick to say sorry. And I think that probably has helped us. We worked on our communication a lot while we were dating, and we did premarital counseling. And so I think a lot of those things have helped it to be easier. But it is surprising, you know, that just the littlest things, because it is such an intimate relationship. And so I think we've just got to be really committed to talking things through and letting nothing divide. And more than anything, seeking Jesus together each
Amen.
Day. You know, we have a daily devotional book we read, and that's been just such a huge, I think, strength to our marriage.
Well, I really appreciate what you're saying, and it's I think the connection spiritually is of utmost importance, and that's the thing that people often let go of when life gets busy and full. But I also have another thought about this. I prayed every single day for a long time, but specifically every day, every morning and every night for my hubby for a year prior to meeting him. And God really did somehow smooth out. Everybody told me the transition was going to be tough, but I believe with all my heart that God just took those prayers and smoothed the road. I mean, there was still, we had our health challenges and different things, but when a person is praying for their future spouse, God goes ahead and does something that's different than those who don't pray about it. I believe that with everything in me.
I agree. Absolutely. And I prayed for my future spouse, for Jacob, for so many years.
Yep.
I mean, my long wait for me that I was talking about, it very much says that I'm waiting for you and I'm praying for you. And so I used to like write kind of love notes to, you know, my future husband too. And like, he was just so often in my thoughts and prayers. And I think you're right. I think that is probably a huge part of why this first year has been a lot easier, because God has smoothed out the road.
Yeah, he's gone ahead of you. Well, I'm talking to Rebecca St. James today. She's got a new book, What Is He Thinking? What Guys Want Us to Know About Dating, Love, and Marriage. You've got a couple of signed copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question or comment for our guest today. First two people on the air will get a book, 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Boy, I had some fun digging through this book. I had to pick and choose what I want to cover because I know the hour would go so fast. But first and foremost, tell me about your inspiration behind even writing this book.
Well, you know, I got the idea for it before I met my husband, and I really just came to a place in my single life where I just realized I had a lot to learn, and who better to ask the questions that I wanted to know than single guys themselves. And so I just thought, how fun would it be to be able to ask all those questions that you don't feel like you can ask a boyfriend, you know, or somebody that you're dating, because it's a bit embarrassing. But I wanted to just sit down with like guy friends that I knew, you know, to varying degrees. I knew these 16 different guys, and you know, some of them I knew from LA, some from living in Nashville. One was a neighbor. Some were people that I'd worked with. But ages 18 to 34, and I just sat down with each of them and just asked them things like, you know, what are you really looking for in a relationship? What do you value? What are major turnoffs? What are major kind of do's and don'ts? How do you honor God in a relationship? I mean, it was just really, really fascinating. So I feel like I learned a lot, actually, you know, in the process of writing this book and really just interviewing these guys. And I think a lot of it actually helped me while I was dating Jacob. So I'm really grateful for that because I was finishing up the book while we were dating.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, let's start with some of this content. What would you say are the most common mistakes women make when relating to men?
The things that I got over and over again was how girls can kind of jump ahead in a relationship. And, you know, we've had a date or two and it's going really well. And already the guy can sense that the girl's thinking marriage or, you know, like super, super seriously. And he's still just kind of, you know, very much at first date or second date or whatever it actually is. And so that just puts a whole lot of pressure on guys if they feel like the girl is getting prematurely excited or feeling too committed too early. And so they were just saying, you know, over and over again, just chill out, like just let the relationship be what it is and let it unfold naturally and don't put too many expectations on it too early and don't start looking at your wedding dress, you know, when you're in the first few months of dating.
Or making a scrapbook with your future children, you know.
Yes, exactly. I'm melting
Photoshop.
At their faces. Exactly. Like how to lose a guy in 10 days.
That's, you know, exactly that, right. Pretty much that sums it up. Well, yeah, some of the things I read were, you know, needy and, you know, just needing too much. Like they're a source.
Mm.
Another one I thought was interesting is independent, where it's like, I don't need you at all and I'm not letting you in. So I'd love for you to strike a balance. In fact, it's not either of those. It's something altogether different. Talk about the difference between being so independent that I don't need you to I'll die if you don't accept me.
Yeah, I think there is two extremes that we're seeing, you know, right now, especially in a culture where, you know, many, many women can be overly focused on career, you know, and I know it's at certain points, you know, in my journey, my life has just been so packed and so full that I felt like I have absolutely very little left, you know, for a relationship. And that's a scary place to get to. And so I think with a lot of, like, career-minded women, the tendency can be that we can kind of, like, just wrap up our lives way too much in that so that we have nothing left relationally. And it can kind of put off this super independent, I don't need anybody kind of vibe to where guys just feel like, well, she doesn't need me. And, you know, she probably doesn't even have time for this relationship. So I'm out before I'm in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is, it's a balance. I mean, in so much of life is learning balance. And I think, you know, in that mix of not being too needy and not being too independent, I think God's wisdom can guide us.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, after one of my sons had a painful breakup, I took him out to Panera and I said, okay, we're going to talk about your dream girl. And he's like, right now? I'm like, yep, right now. Took out my iPhone and I said, start listing some things for me. You know, he has that was several years ago. He's asked me several times, send that to me again. And I'm so glad because in the height of pain, you know, it was a really actually good time and place to go. These are bedrock things that are non-negotiables because he'd come out of, you know, kind of compromising on this and that because he's so accommodating. And I'm going to go through this list because I feel like it really we can all learn something from this. And I think there really would be strong for all of us. But one, of course, he says strong in faith and serious about it. He said non-negotiable. But he also said that she's a constant learner and grower and loves to read. And that for him, that he respects that. And he says, need you, but is strong and humble. They're not independent. But they're willing to be, you know, I need to be needed. I want to know that I can protect her and love her and care for her. Loves family and kids. He says, can handle conflict and confrontation without shutting down. And I think that's one I want to talk with you about. And then has her own convictions where things that she would care about whether he was around or not, that she's not just, you know what I mean, stirring up her own convictions. But if she cares about the homeless or the poor or the traffic victim, that she would do that anyway, whether anybody's watching or not. and that she's a straight talker, and that she has her friends, has her own friends, that she can be alone with me, but she can be with her friends, and she can be a couple in public. So I thought that was a really comprehensive list as far as what's healthy, where you've got somebody who kind of knows their identity. Talk about that important, the importance of knowing who you are and embracing who you are before you can really find a healthy relationship with someone else.
Was that Andrew, by the way? Do you know Susie?
What's that?
You're reading about? Was that Andrew?
No, this was my son Jake, actually. This was
Your friend Jake.
My son Jake, yeah.
Your son. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the guys, it sounds very similar to a lot of what the guys in the book, you know, because I actually kind of introduced the guys in the book and kind of described their age, what they do, kind of a bit about them, you know, their personalities. And then kind of at certain points, they do list what they're looking for. And it sounds so similar to my friend Andrew that I interviewed for the book, who is now married and found a girl who sounds exactly like what you're describing. You know,
I wonder if she has a sister.
For.
I'm kidding.
She does, actually. She's got a sister, too, and they're amazing. So maybe we should introduce
Let's talk
them.
Later, babe.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was something, Susie, that came up over and over again, you know, in my interviews of the guys, is how incredibly important it is for a girl to just know who she is and to stick to that. Because if they feel that a girl is kind of just saying what a guy wants to hear and has a lot of insecurity about who she is, it is a turnoff, you know, and it's difficult for the guy to kind of really get a feel for who they're dating. And I was working with a life coach for a few years, and this life coach, and he's kind of like a spiritual advisor and just amazing mentor. And he said, Rebecca, until you own your own beauty, you're not going to offer it to anyone else.
Mm.
And he wasn't just talking about a physical beauty, although that was part of it, because I think a lot of us girls have, you know, self-worth and self-image issues too that come into the equation. But he was also saying, you know, you've got to own your own beauty as a person, you know who you are and accept that and delight in that. And then you will be free to offer that to somebody else in relationship.
That is so good. Another thing I so appreciated is the insight from your guy friends where they were saying, you know, women focus so much on being skinny. We don't really care about that. We want to know, is she confident in who God has made her to be? Is she comfortable in her skin? Can she laugh? Can she take risks? I marvel that every one of them that I read were like, I don't really care about the skinny thing. In fact, I don't mind a few curves. Mm. And yet we've been sold a bill of goods that we have to lose every ounce of body fat, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And we put way too much priority on that. And I was hearing that from the guys. I think that, you know, honestly, this book is a book of encouragement, because I think a lot of girls, you know, are like I was for so many years, just super, super discouraged about dating. You know, you've kind of had discouraging experiences, and you kind of wonder, is this person ever going to come? And am I just kind of, I got a Facebook message actually from someone today just saying, you know, what's realistic in a relationship to hope for? And, you know, what's kind of unrealistic? And, you know, there's just so many questions that you face. But I think asking God to show you who you are on an identity level and really claiming that and owning that, you know, just puts you in good stead for beginning a relationship with somebody.
Such a good word. Well, let's answer that question, if you wouldn't mind. You know, because I get asked that a lot. Tell me the difference between unrealistic expectations and having a high standard that I refuse to settle on.
Yeah. Well, my mom actually gave me, I think, some amazing advice with dating. And she said, anytime you're really, you know, drawn to somebody, to a guy, and, you know, you're kind of entertaining romantic feelings about them, and obviously if they're a solid believer, you should see it through until you know why they're not the one for you. So answer that question so that you never as a single person can feel like, well, I let that one get away, or I didn't give that one a chance. So she was just saying, anytime you encounter something special with a guy and you're feeling that romantic pull, see it through until you know why they're not the one.
Hmm.
And I really do feel like that, you know, in my years of dating, I was always able to say that. Like, I never missed the one for me. I just had a peace about that he had never been in my life because I was too fearful, or I shut it down too early. I think you've got to give it a chance, you know. Now, some of us girls can be almost too gracious. Like, we're seeing major red flags or, major kind of signs early on that the guy's not treating us with respect and we can hang on for too long. So there's two extremes again. But I think God can really give us wisdom as to, okay, is this a deal breaker, or not? Even with Jacob, he is everything that I need in a man and everything that God plans for me. And I was so fascinated with him from day one and really sensed that he could be the one. But there were elements while we were dating that, weren't exactly what I pictured when I pictured it being the one, But as we pressed through, those became non-issues anymore. They weren't deal breakers at all,
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up.
He looked a little bit different to my list. He looked a little bit different initially to my list, but now I see that he's beyond perfect for me,
That is beautiful. I'm really glad you were honest about that, because man makes his plans, but the Lord determines his steps. So on one hand, it is good to kind of establish these core convictions and list things that we want, but as you walk it out, then God will maybe determine your steps that are even better for you. That is so good. Appreciate that. Talking to Rebecca St. James today. She's got a new book, What Is He Thinking? What Guys Want Us to Know About Dating, Love, and Marriage. We welcome your calls. You're quiet today. I know it's because you're so riveted on what Rebecca's saying, but we're ready for you to join in the conversation. We've got a couple of copies, signed copies of Rebecca's new book. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Rebecca St. James in just a moment. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Rebecca St. James about her new book, What Is He Thinking? What Guys Want Us to Know About Dating, Love, and Marriage. We welcome your calls. Toll free 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So on Facebook, I asked, what do you think that men think is the most valuable and attractive quality in women? Jackie writes, confidence. Tara says, humor. Jenny says, inner beauty. Cindy says, unfortunately, I believe men focus on sex appeal and lifestyle. And Kathleen says, at first, men are usually attracted to a woman by her looks, hopefully her heart. Just saying, that's what most guys will say. What about you? 877-933-2484. So what would you say, Rebecca, are based on especially your interviews of all these friends, that are guy really most attracts guys to women?
Well, definitely, I heard over and over that they want somebody that they really connect with, that they can talk to very easily, that a girl who has a personality that they just really love. Following on with what we were saying earlier, one of the guys said, a major turn off for them was a hot girl who's boring. So they were really just saying over and over, we want somebody who actually draws us to them on a personal level. It's not just about looks. Obviously, like the person that wrote you on Facebook, guys want to be drawn physically, and attracted to the girl that they're interested in. But if there's not, a heart and a personality that's drawing them, then they're not going to stay interested beyond a few dates. That's what I heard over and over from the guys. So really working on that inner beauty, and really allowing God to just refine you on a character level is so important. And they also said that over and over again, because these are all solid Christian guys that just love Jesus. They're saying it's so attractive when they see a girl who knows who she is in Jesus and really has a very strong relationship with him. And so that they can talk about that and communicate that, and that will be the foundation of their relationship.
And, on the flip side, the enemy would love us chasing after wind, trying everything to be the next or to look like the next gal. And it is just chasing after wind. I often tell women at conferences, get out of the beauty contest, do your best and then just leave the rest, And in layman's terms, paint the barn in the morning and get on with the day. I mean, do what you can do with what you've got, but then move on to the deeper things of God and the deeper things of life, you know? Yeah, boy. Because if we put all that focus on the external and we miss nurturing the inner life, we miss and they miss. Boy, so good. 877-933-2484. We've got Elizabeth calling from Fargo, North Dakota. She's got a question for you. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have five children. One is married. One is engaged. This is really for my 20-year-old. I have two younger children also. But I'm wondering how we can support and nurture their relationships and her discovery, of, especially of my 20-year-old, of herself and the relationship she's looking for. As a parent, what would you encourage us to do to support and nurture those Christian relationships?
Good question.
Well, definitely staying connected to your 20-year-old. It's a really wonderful question. And, I think one of the things that I really value in my relationship with my parents is I always felt like they had time to talk to me about whatever was going on in my life. They really fostered a very open, honest relationship, a relationship of no secrets. And that didn't just kind of end once we turned 18 either. There was this continued relationship of, you know, seeking to be in my life and know, you know, what was happening, not in a nosy way, but in a, I really care about you and just want to continue to foster this parent-child friendship. Because my mom, you know, as I grew older, became kind of like a sister to me, and I really wanted to be honest about everything that was going on in my life, in my teens and in my 20s. And now in my 30s, we have a different relationship. I live across the country, but still when we pick up and get on the phone, it's like old time. So I think just being curious about her life, staying engaged, really putting in that time to talk with her. And it's almost like getting to have girl time. And I think she'll really value that and just share about some of the questions that she has and pray with her about that and encourage her to only date guys that are solid with God. I think that's an incredibly important thing. A lot of girls kind of think, well, maybe they can, you know, fudge a little bit on that, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. You know, and I love everything Rebecca said, and even to add to that, just to constantly communicate her value in Christ, communicate it in every which way, because the messages are so contrary. In fact, in your book, Rebecca, you quote Wes Stafford as talking to his daughters, and he said, a guy will never treat you any better than he does when he's dating you. And I think that's such a good line, because it equips then your young adult child to know what to look for and to know what a healthy standard is. So that's well done. Excellent. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got some calls coming in. We'll wait for those. And, you know, a while back we had Lisa Anderson from Focus on the Family on the show, and she was talking about how in this culture in general, Rebecca, women are sort of outpacing men in career and educational pursuits, while young men are staying dependent on mom and dad for too long. And so there are a lot of girls out there so frustrated going, and this is not a bash on men at all, but the question is, you know, are there guys who are ready to grow up and play big boy? Are they out there? And wondering if you have an answer for that question.
Yeah, you know, that's part of why I was so encouraged by writing this book, was just seeing over and over again these strong, you know, men of God that had a, you know, very strong sense of responsibility in their lives vocationally as well as, you know, in their relationship with God. It was really, really awesome to me to see such strong young men, because we do live in a culture where you kind of look around, you know, a lot of times and go, okay, where have all the good guys gone? You know, where have all the strong men gone? And I think, you know, the feminist movement was so good for women in so many ways, but it was also brought some negative things to it, in that guys sometimes don't know their role anymore. They don't know if they're allowed to open up a door for a girl, or if that's going to be offensive, or carry her bag, or whatever. And so I think guys are a little unsure now about what their role is. And so I think we've got to be really encouraging to men. I think one of the things that came out in the book too is their vulnerability, that they feel insecure in dating sometimes. I think we often feel, you know, in that single period of our lives, like, oh, my goodness, it's so scary, and we've got to wait for this guy to pursue us. Well, they feel that same insecurity when they've got to be the one to reach out and put themselves out there and face potential rejection.
Especially in this culture. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to talk over you. I just was going to say, especially in this culture, because men have been so emasculated, their very sincere actions can be misinterpreted as being condescending.
Absolutely.
Or, yeah, bless their hearts.
Well, and because they value respect so highly, you know, we in our preparation for marriage read the book Love and Respect, and it just talks about how girls are looking for love and guys are looking for respect. And so if they feel like there's a potential for them to be disrespected by being rejected, you know, if they ask a girl out and she says no, then they're really reticent to step up and ask someone out. One of the things that I found, too, in studying for this book is, especially in Christian cultures, I think dating trends have changed from more of a, you know, what might be seen as kind of a normal, like old school dating approach of a guy likes a girl and he asks her out on a date, and then they go out on dates, and if it keeps going well, you know, they maybe down the track end up getting engaged and married, to more of a, what I call a Starbucks dating approach, where a guy will kind of ease himself into it, you know, with asking a girl out for coffee, and then maybe eventually that will lead to going out on dates and being boyfriend, girlfriend, but it starts a lot slower. And I think it's due to a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, Susie, guys being a little unsure about their role and not wanting to be disrespected, and kind of leading more with the friendship approach, which I think is actually a good thing to ease into it and to lead with friendship. But it can't stay in that mode too long, you know. Right. The guy has to step up at some point.
Mm, wow, good word. Love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We've got Tom calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
Not so bad, thank you. It's wonderful weather down here in Madison.
Wow, good for you. It isn't so much here, but we're happy for you. So what's your comment today, Tom?
Well, my question or comment is a little earlier in the program, Rebecca was talking about her praying for her future husband, and I think that's a good idea. We have a 28-year-old son, and I don't know whether he's doing that for his wife or not, but I, as a parent, am, and I thought that might be a comment or she might want to do is the parents can do that, pray that God will bring the right woman at the right time for both of their benefits, obviously assuming that that marriage is in the future for them, because some people it's not, but just that the parents can do that too.
Amen. Good word. Rebecca, do you want to comment on Tom's comment?
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you so much for saying that. I think it's incredibly important. I know that my parents, as well as my husband's parents, as well as our grandparents, have been praying since we were children about our spouse, you know, our future spouses. And so just that they, you know, that his family has been praying for me, you know, my husband's whole life, and that my family has been praying for him. I mean, it's just the most beautiful thing. And
so wonderful.
So I'm incredibly blessed by that. So, Tom, you're doing a great job doing that for your child.
Absolutely. Great word, Tom. So appreciate it. We'll probably take calls for probably the next, I'd say, 4 or 5 minutes. So give us a call if you want, 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484. You know, I'm wondering, Rebecca, did you have any trust issues with being that you've got this big platform and you're dating different men? I mean, did you wonder about motives at times? I mean, I'm not sure on the flip side if you dealt with that. Did you?
Well, you know, I think because I'd honestly been disappointed so regularly in just dating, more not on the level of these guys were bad, you know, at all, like that I was dating, but more just that over and over again they weren't the right one, and so your heart just kind of just feels sad. And in some ways, you know, like that scripture that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I know at certain points in my life, my heart felt sick. And so I know while Jacob and I were dating, there was really this sense of, I remember praying early on in the first few months, Lord, I really do hope that he's the one for me. I really care about this man, but help me to let my heart go. And let my heart fall in love, because I really had never been in love before. I'd never, like,
gone down that track because, and I think God did protect my heart from falling in love with someone else that wasn't my husband. That had been a prayer of mine. And so I just asked him to, in his time, let my heart fall for this man. And he did. He really answered that prayer because, and it had, and it had to do with fear, I think, of being disappointed again and it not working out. And my husband actually really had to work through some of that, his own fear of, you know, potential hurt, what if it doesn't work out in our relationship. So, but we were both separately coming to God, praying about the relationship, and he took away that fear and, you know, let our hearts fall in love for each other. And it's, and about a month before Jacob proposed to me, I knew that he was the one. And I wrote it in a diary, you know, I love you. You know, I wrote this diary to Jacob and said, I love you. I know you're the one for me. And about a month later, he proposed. So it was pretty special that it happened that way.
So beautiful. Again, so, so happy for you too. We've got Anne calling from Wisconsin and she's got a question for you. Anne, welcome to the show.
Hi. I got kind of a comment. My kids are grown now. One of them is married, and one of them is still out in the world. And when they were little, we had the tape and the book by Joshua Harris called I Put Dating Behind Me. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I Kissed Dating Goodbye?
Yeah, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. That's, I'm sorry. Yeah. I had the wrong name.
That's
of
okay.
It.
Yeah.
And it worked quite well. I would have to say my daughter did it part way through, and then she started somewhat. But we learned a lot of interesting things about just having a relationship first with God and putting that 100% before she even wanted to. She really needed to have a good relationship with God before she could even have a good relationship with a man. And it worked. I mean, she got married and everything went well, and she was pure when she got married, everything. So we were really thankful about that in a day like this. But we had been praying for a long time for our children, too. We prayed all along for them and for their, actually, we also praying for their children in the womb that they, too, will love the Lord with all their hearts. And I was just kind of wondering what your thought about it.
Well, Josh Harris is actually a dear friend of mine, and I actually wrote the foreword for that first edition of I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And, you know, when I say dating, I'm meaning a very intentional courtship-like model for dating because I don't believe in just, you know, a model of kind of, I see you, you look attractive to me, you're going to make me feel better about myself, and so I'm going to date you even though I don't see this panning out for marriage at all. Like, I don't believe in that model, which I think is used a lot in our culture today, and you see it a lot on TV, and it promotes a user mentality that Josh Harris was really challenging in his book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and he was really just saying, you know, we need to be treating the person that we're courting as a brother or sister in the Lord. You know, we need to be seeing them foremost as how can we honor them, not use them. And so I think there's so much in that book. It was so incredibly helpful. And so I think the courtship model of dating is an incredibly important thing to value. And just how can I honor God? How can I honor this person in this relationship?
Thank you. Excellent answer. Thanks, Anne, for the call. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Anne.
A question we get often, Rebecca, or that I receive often from young women is it okay to take the initiative, or do guys just hate that? As far as asking on a date, you know, that kind of thing, making a first move that way. I read, you know, some of the answers in your book, but what were your thoughts on that?
Predominantly what I got from guys is that they want to be the one to initiate. You know, I think that they were saying that some kind of like flirting or friendliness to show that a girl is interested is really important for a girl to show because they don't want to just kind of take this flying leap, you know, and make this guess that she might be. And so they're just going to put themselves out there. So, you know, I always kind of had this negative association attached to flirting. And I always thought, oh, maybe that's manipulative. But, you know, I think sincere friendliness, when you are drawn to somebody, is truly a great thing. And if somebody wants to call that flirting, then, you know, that's the what they're going to call it. But I just think kind of letting guys know that we like them and appreciate them in that kind of more subtle way of just being friendly and warm and engaging guys in conversation, talking to them. So maybe you can, I mean, I still think it's fine, and I was picking this up from the guys, to initiate a conversation with someone, but let's let them initiate, you know, a date or something like that. That's what I was hearing from the guys over and over.
Yep, that's basically what I've been hearing as well. They still like to be the one that pursues when it comes to a date, but that's what we hear. Yep. Jim calls from Madison, and he says, he quotes Romans 10:9, says, won't let his daughter date any guy who can't confess Jesus as his Lord. Thanks, Jim, for that. That's great. Mm-hmm. Boy, this time's going by so fast. I want to make sure we cover some of these. You list top 10 turnoffs for guys. And I think, again, you know, these are great for single gals, but you know what? They're good for married women, too. One is a critical spirit, not being gracious in a relationship. Talk about why that is such a turnoff for guys if you're a critical spirit.
Oh, that one was major. And, I now see also in marriage how incredibly important it is to foster a gracious spirit, because that goes so far, a gracious, loving spirit, words that come out of your mouth that are edifying, not critical. Yeah. It's so important in marriage. So what we foster, you know, in our single years will continue in the married years. You know, you're building a foundation. What I like to say to girls now is, you know, you're preparing to wear the white dress. What you give your time to as a single girl will pay off or hurt you in marriage. So be sowing into things that are wonderful. Sow into a positive, a life-giving tongue that speaks the truth in love. Sow into your relationship with God. Mm. Sow into, you know, kindness and a servant's heart, because these are the kind of things that you'll benefit from for the rest of your life in your marriage.
You know, I'm thinking of the proverb. I don't remember the reference, but it says a gracious woman retains honor. And you think about how much honor you carry when you're a gracious woman. And another thing that I noticed in the book that was such a turnoff is girls that are so wrapped up in how they look and paying attention to themselves and so self-aware, basically, versus what they notice on the flip side are those who are loving and unselfish and considerate of those around them. And that from a distance, you can really see that. And say a word about that, because, again, that comes from an inner core belief about who we are and why we're here, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and I think it is just so easy to feed the selfish nature in our world today. You know, we hear slogans all the time like, have it your way. And, you know, it's just so easy to kind of buy into that, where it's at, like our thoughts and our feelings and our image and all of this. And so anything I think that can make it more about God and more about other people is just such a wonderful character trait to develop.
Yeah. Well, you address even the importance of prayer as a couple. Talk about that in the context of dating. What does that look like in dating? I've heard some people say, if you don't know if you're going to be actually courting this person, prayer can be so intimate that it can, you know, draw you together in a way that you might not want. I don't know if I agree with that. I think I love prayer, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think about that, especially in the context of dating?
You and I think so similarly, Susie. I feel like in dating, prayer is a beautiful thing, because you're drawing together and saying, God, we want to put you first in this. We want to honor you first. And the focus is on him. But some people do warn about the intimacy that can be created through prayer, you know, in a dating relationship. And so I people need to go to God individually about that. But I know, you know, for us, you know, when I saw Jacob pray, wow, you know, it's a very beautiful thing to be able to come together as a couple and talk to God. And so now when we do that in marriage, you know, it's something that just draws me to my husband and makes me fall deeper in love with him in such a profound way. So we definitely pray together a lot more now that we're married than we did when we were dating. But I think it is something that is important to a level that is determined by you guys as a couple in seeking God and asking him how much it should happen in dating, but definitely needs to be there.
You know, I've said this on the show before, but in our early years, we prayed all the time together. Then we went through all kinds of crises, and we would pray into these crises, but then we kind of came out of that and got busy in our lives with kids and ministry stuff and hit a wall of burnout. And that was probably, I want to say, about 15 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, actually. And we reinstituted morning and night prayer times like non-negotiable just for us. And I'm telling you, Rebecca, we carry more now, but we're together in it than we did back before our burnout.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've learned something about the power of spiritual unity, that this is why the enemy is attacking marriages, because when we are together, there's no end to what we can accomplish, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And there's something, too, about prayer that you can't be divided, really, when you pray. Or I think it's very, very hard to be divided as a couple if you're praying together. There's something that just unifies you like nothing else. And my husband and I do, we pray before we go to bed. And it's just, it is such a beautiful, beautiful thing to do together. And it's so intimate. It builds intimacy and unifies you like nothing else. I really agree with that.
One thing I've appreciated that you're writing, that you reference different people who've spoken into your life and that can tell you value mentors. Say a word about the importance. I think it's always important to have someone who's been down the road farther than you who can speak into your life. Say a word about the importance of mentors in our lives.
Absolutely. Well, in the back of the book, in the last chapter, I interviewed men, mostly by email, actually, that were kind of mentors or heroes of mine about marriage, including my dad, including Wes Stafford, who was at our wedding, president of Compassion, amazing man, including Sean Hannity from Fox, who's a friend. You know, just these different people just saying, you know, you've been married for a long time now, what advice can you give? And it was just so, so good to hear their thoughts and their wisdom and their maturity. I asked them also, in looking back, you know, on when they were courting their wife, you know, what they do differently. And so it was just fascinating to kind of hear their, you know, open-ended advice, and then also to kind of hear specifically from them on what they learned, and if, you know, if they could go back in time, what they would do differently.
That's great. Scripture says there's wisdom in many counselors. Well, this has been beautiful. You're just a beautiful soul, Rebecca. And as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person listening today who, you know, wants desperately to be married, and they've not yet found that person God has for them. Wondering if you would wrap up by praying for that person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things I'd love to say, too, before I pray is, you know, the power of forgiveness is something that's so incredibly important for all of us, and is a focus in the book as well, because all of us have mistakes we've made in our life and need to know about the forgiveness of God. So if there's somebody listening today, too, that just needs to be encouraged that the forgiveness of God is for them, especially maybe as it relates to purity or sexual sin, I just want to encourage them that God offers his forgiveness and his hope to you today, as he does to all of us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for your hope. We thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you set us free from the past, Lord, that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in condemnation. And so, Lord, I pray for somebody today that might be hurting about past mistakes in relationships. And I just pray that you will just meet them with your peace and your encouragement as they come to you today, Lord, confessing that sin and asking for forgiveness. Lord, let them just have such an incredible release. And I pray so much for that that young woman that might be just at home today, longing, as I know so well, for a future mate, Lord. I just pray that you will bring comfort, that you will bring hope, and that above all, that she will know that in this time of waiting, she can be drawing to you, Lord, for you to beautify her heart, for you to prepare her so that she can wear that white dress with such confidence that you have made her into everything that she can be in you, Lord, that she is truly beautiful. And so thank you so much for your hope. And we give our lives afresh to you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. You were a wonderful guest. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Susie.
It's great talking with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Tune in tomorrow. I'm talking to Dr. Greg Smalley about communication in marriage. That's going to be a great interview as well. And check out my devotional blog at susielarson.com. Wrote about preparing for a breakthrough. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.